Hello, my name is Jonathan Snow. With thanks to CED Stone. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the SOD show. Is that right?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SOD Show Garden Podcast.
I'm sitting with
Jonathan Snow.
Jonathan, I just saw you talking to Jon Snow.
That's right, yes. It was almost inevitable. It's a pleasure to meet him. It's great to meet him. The other Jon Snow we haven't met, and there's a cricketer as well who's not here either. But we met the one Jon Snow.
Lonnie Donegan's brother, my apologies, is Peter Donegan, and I regularly get mails on his behalf, and we look nothing like each
right,
other.
Yeah.
That's a minor detail. Let's skew to Chelsea 2018. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yep, well, the garden is born out of an idea that I had while I was on holiday in South Africa with my wife, and she really wanted to go wine tasting to places like Franschhoek and Stellenbosch, and so we did, and I tagged along, and I very much enjoyed the architecture and the pretty gardens, and it wasn't until I learned about this stuff called fynbos, which is the endemic vegetation of South Africa, that I really, an idea for a show garden started to form in my head. And so really this garden is a celebration of fynbos. But I wanted to prove that I could do a garden and the landscape at the same time and then make it relatable by introducing the vernacular architecture of South Africa and also a vineyard as well, because wherever you are in the world, a vineyard is a nice place to be.
The last time I heard a garden and a landscape was in reference to James Besson's garden of 2017, and that was from the editor of the Garden Design Journal, and she was saying to me that essentially the dilemma or the question arose of it was based on a landscape essentially, but Besson's argued the point that it was still a garden because it contained water and all of those features. Okay. Yours is a little bit more leaning towards what we would appreciate, I guess, no disrespect
Absolutely.
To James and
yeah.
Helen, as a garden, and to your credit, it is and was perfectionately done.
Yes, that's right. Well, I mean, I remember James's garden from last year. I absolutely loved it. I think it's very clever what he's done. And he's certainly been an influence on my interest in landscapes and finding plants in their natural habitat. This was this is very distinct, this garden. It's very separate. There's very much a separate garden and a separate landscape. So, I mean, I think it's slightly more obvious that, the whole show garden is both a garden and a landscape, or a garden within a landscape, rather than is it a garden or is it a landscape. It's this is a snapshot of South Africa, and it's both it's a garden within a landscape.
If I was to pick a quintessentially British garden of what you have in yours, which is essentially what we would categorise, alliums and foxgloves, etc., etc., there are a crossover of plants that are easily identifiable that people will turn around and go, I know this one, I know this one, I know this one. That's not to suggest that you haven't used plants that are, in show garden terms, sometimes it can be, well, I'll use Betula nigra instead of Betula jacumontii, for example.
Yeah.
How did you grapple, or how did it work on the planting side of it, and did you turn around and go, oh come on, that's a little bit, let's change it to that instead?
Absolutely, yeah. My idea for the garden was, when I learned about fynbos, I discovered that there are quite a few plants that we already know that are fynbos plants, Agapanthus and Pelargoniums, and this hedge here you see right in front of you is Mercine Africana. It's a fynbos plant. We've got salvias in the landscape, we've got salvias in the garden. I wanted to do things a little bit differently. I didn't want to have a straight, clipped, neat yew hedge. I wanted a very loose, informal hedge. So we've got Eugenia here, Eugenia myrtifolia. But the idea was to try to show plants in their natural environment, the Nyphophias and the Pelargoniums and so on, and to repeat as many of those in their cultivated form. In the garden. So whereas in the garden, in the landscape, you've got little tiny Agapanthus africanus, in the garden we've got big Agapanthus praecox, much more showy, much more suitable for that environment. So,
You seem to have split the garden. I'll break it down simply for the listeners. For those of you listening at home, at SodShow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodShow, SodShow.com, send me a note, even just search Jonathan and the garden will come up for you, or I'll send the photographs on to you. But in the simplest form of a breakdown, as in starter, main course, dessert kind of a scenario, you seem to have done it into build, structure, formal, let's call
yes,
it.
Yes,
and
yes,
then
yes.
And then you seem to have gone, let's make life difficult for myself yes. in show gardening terms.
Absolutely.
Is that fair? And how difficult was the latter third of the garden?
Very difficult because, yes, I mean, I've had plenty of time to plan the structure, the building. I went around in South Africa. We snuck around a few wine estates. We took measurements of windows and doors and buildings and so on. And that was, had time to plan that. The cultivated garden part, you know, it's also less of a challenge for nurseries because they know what plants will flower when. They know what they need. They know what they need to supply, and they know when they'll flower. When it comes to the landscape, that's a challenge because none of the nurseries had ever grown most of these plants before. So that was the hardest bit. But it's very much, the garden is first and foremost about the fynbos, for me anyway, as a garden designer, as a sort of keen amateur botanist.
Well, there's a couple of designers that I've spoke to. Mark Gregory, I know, who's, I've interviewed Mark before, former guest of the show, I should say. And Mark was talking about in his garden how he'd gone and got a cowpat and placed it into
that.
The...
I saw that last night on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And, great detail.
And I'm speaking to one of the girls who's designing for Hampton, and she's talking about the amount of weeds, the imperfections that she yep. needs to have about imperfect hostas, and she can't get, logically, nurseries to grow weeds for her. And I'm saying, well, how do you grow the imperfect weed? Because they can't be perfect either, for a judging perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
On the imperfect planting, how imperfect, as per what you wrote in the brief, were the plants, and how did you go about that to stickle on it?
Yeah, that's a challenge because, you know, I could place a plant in the landscape that is intentionally past its best, or it's got a few, it needs a prune, or the shape is not quite right, and to me it looks perfect, but a judge might look at it and say, well, actually that's not a Chelsea standard plant. We found a lot of these plants languishing in the back of polytunnels, mostly in Cornwall actually. So we would go down and say, right, have you got any proteas and whatnot, and as we were leaving, we'd sort of spy at the back some spindly, old, tired-looking plants and say, what's that? Say, okay, we'll have that. And what else have you got? And sure enough, more and more little gems were unearthed. And that was the biggest challenge, is trying to make the landscape. And it's the dilemma, because the judges, you know, you never know how they're going to look at it. You have to. I decided just to get my head down and concentrate on what I believed to be a landscape. But also remember, it's a show garden. So I think I had a bit more license in the landscape to produce plants that were a bit wonky and not quite perfect, but we had to make sure that we could show the judges that we could do perfection in the homestead garden. So hopefully the contrast is there to see.
Sticking with the trio, and I apologise for how I've broken your garden down, but for, again, just for those listening, in reference to that, when I spoke to Matt Kightley, he explained to me something that I've done myself. He went out into the crowd and stood amidst them, and he said they didn't know who he was, and he heard people critiquing and also equally praising his garden, which is allowed, you know, that's understandable. That's like a Bee Gees album or a Diana Ross CD, you know, or a Shania Twain, if you want to go that far. When you are standing out in the crowd, have you had it where it's, I like that bit and I don't like that bit, which in your case, because you've got a ruggedness, and then you've got a more symmetric, and then you've got a nice structure. And again, it morphs really well one into the other, but the trio are easily definable, I guess.
Yes, they're easily definable. I mean, to answer your first question, to be honest, I haven't really stood out there amongst everyone yet, but I will do, because no one will recognise me. That's actually really good. I think that, what was the question again? I was asking the first question about I haven't stood out there. I know what it was now. There will be bits that I hope the crowd pleaser is more the homestead garden. We've got a band next door, right? The fynbos is a tougher call because people won't necessarily understand it. It's scrubby. It looks like a bit of a mess, but that's the landscape.
We've got Alan Titchmarsh's band following us around.
We've got it.
You're stuck with that, listeners. That's just the way it's going to go. I'll actually stand in front of you. That's what I'll do. You stay where you are.
Okay.
So bring me back a little bit on your own part of it, because you don't just walk straight into the gates of Chelsea, but you noted there that you were not recognisable. Something I heard referred to Tom Stewart-Smith, that he was a bit of a newbie, I think was how he was quoted on Chelsea Week.
Oh, that he called me that, did he?
No, he was referred to as a newbie himself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, I know there's a route that you take, or there's a fairly well trodden path you take to doing show gardens. You tend to start off on smaller gardens or other shows. Yeah. The idea that I had, it just evolved into a big garden. It was always a garden and a landscape, and I wanted the structure there as well. So it was always a big garden, and I thought, well, I'd love to see if I can bring it to a show. And I just thought, well, let's see if I can get to Chelsea. I showed the RHS. They liked the design. They said, good luck with finding a sponsor. And I found a sponsor, and here we are. So I'm so grateful to be here, because I've kind of jumped a few spaces, and we'll see tomorrow whether we manage to pull it off at the first attempt. But, yeah.
Well, you say you jumped a few spaces, and my dad would always say, well, there's no such thing as good luck. It's always, you know, hard work and being in the right place. It doesn't happen by chance. I don't believe for one minute that you turn around and say, last week over breakfast, darling, I've seen Match of the Day. I just caught the cricket scores. I think I'd like to design a garden at Chelsea. It doesn't work out that way. There has to be a pathway to there, irrespective of whether you went around or roundabout or under the bridge.
Mm. Well, that's true. No, I mean, I've been designing gardens for 12 years, 13 years now. So there is that. I have trodden a path. I haven't just turned around last week and said I want to design a garden at Chelsea. I retrained. I was used to be in the military. I retrained. I went to work for Arnie Maynard and then Tom Stuart Smith briefly. And I will always be grateful to them for my opportunities and what I learned from there. And then I spent 10 years building my own business. So in that respect, yes, I have trodden a path. I just haven't trodden a path through the different shows yet.
I'll go back to it. I had this conversation of recent, and the point that was made was that I declined to go to Chelsea flower shows, not because I didn't want to go and see the Chelsea flower shows, but because I was afraid that I'd learn how to dress of horticulture in mind and garden design in mind as regards show gardens. I was afraid that I would become too mature too quickly. I'd know how to do the formula. I'd know how to follow the brief. And something that talking to Andrew Fisher Tomlin, and he was talking about people not of age, but more of mind. You're a little bit more daring. And you, to your credit, you have, the hedge isn't pristine. It's not even, the band have started again. This is crazy. If I was serenading a woman, this would be perfect. But you haven't followed, inverted commas, all of the rules, if you don't mind me saying, which is bold and daring and fresh and new, and I'm delighted that you haven't. If this is the path that you've chosen, then I've benefited from this greatly, from what you've created.
Well, I'm really pleased you noticed that, actually. I just had this idea, and I don't often have that good ideas, but I just felt for a long period that this was a good idea, and I thought, well, I'm just going to stick with it. And you know, it's the burnt bit at the front is a risk, but I thought let's go for it. Let's see. You know, I think what's got me this far, what's got me through, apart from the 50 or 60 people who have worked on the garden, I just felt very passionate about the idea. I really felt that it was a strong idea, and I didn't mind taking a few risks.
Talk to me a little bit about it. You mentioned the number of people you had working on the garden. Suppliers that we would know, and I should give them a big huge shout out because they're one of the reasons I'm talking to you, CED Natural Stone.
They're one, yeah. Can I mention some more?
Go ahead.
Okay, Stuart Landscape Construction. Sure. They've been my right-hand people for the last 18 months. Kelways have supplied the plants. They've been unfailing in their enthusiasm and giving up their time, and you know, I'm paying them for it, but they've really, really gone the extra mile. And Rosanna Porter and her team of volunteers, who effectively planted the garden for me. I did a bit on my hands and knees, but you know, they've got the experience, and Rosanna has been simply outstanding in what she's managed to pull off. I'm very grateful to everyone. Those are the three main people I'm grateful to, and of course Trailfinders. You know, they've been a fantastic sponsor. They've barely got involved, which is great for a designer. You don't have to shoehorn logos in. You don't have to shoehorn messages in. They just said, "Here's the money, crack on."
And you're working with a good friend of mine, Rosie. Rose Tinted PR.
That's right, and Rosie. Well, I see. I know Rosie. I knew Rosie a bit before I came to the show, and it occurred to me that I probably should organise some PR for the garden. And Rosie also, you know, she's been fantastic. She's really pulled off. She's pulled off, especially today. You know, we had the South African High Commissioner coming to open the garden. We had Babylon Store and Wine Estate, who is where I first had the idea from Cape Town, and they are very generously supplying the wine today. And you know, Rosie has really pulled it off. You know, I don't think she'll mind me saying, she's an old hand at Chelsea. She knows the score here, and she's very, I mean, today, you know, she's guiding me through this press day, which is completely new to me. So another person to thank.
The first time I had a glass of wine in Rosie's company, I was sitting on a barge with myself, herself, Mark Straver and Jamie Butterworth, then of Hordas Loci, yes. And a finer woman's company you couldn't ask to be in really does look after you in that department.
Rosie, she's rushed off this morning. I couldn't believe it. She rushed off to get me a bacon sandwich and a cup of coffee because I didn't have time. And it's still half eaten at the back there, but I'll go back to it.
I know. Well, it's the other side, I guess, of Show Garden building, particular on press day.
Yeah.
Sorry, just in the back of shot.
All right.
Would you be able just to relocate over there?
Sure. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. For you listening at home.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Where should we go?
Just sit here. That's okay.
You're welcome to listen in if you like.
It's all going on. I'm just going to leave this in, if that's okay. There's a gentleman sitting down with a lady in the middle of the garden who's just having a glass of wine. So if you can, bring me back a little bit. If we play Sideshow Bingo, Peter Donegan used to grow plants under his bed age 5, studied horticulture, set up landscape and business age 24.
Mm.
You did X.
What did I do before this? Or
what did you do when you were 5?
When I was 5. Were you
around in the back garden?
Yeah. I had a garden. So at school, we were given little plots. When I was about 8 years old, we were given little plots of land to grow things on. So I used to grow sunflowers and marigolds. And that sort of continued through school. I mean, I've always been really interested in the outdoors. I've always really been interested in making spaces look nice. And one of the things, actually, that I remember now, I used to be interested in making models, Airfix models. But when I'd made the model, it wasn't enough for me just to sit it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. I had to make a set for it. So if it was a tank, I'd make a ruined building, a tumble down. I'd get paper clips and turn them into barbed wire, like rusty old barbed wire. I'd use cotton wool to make clouds of smoke. I was really, really interested in sort of model making. And when I look at this now, you know, it's obviously on a bigger scale, but that's a part of it. So the interest in doing a show garden stems from my interest in the outdoors, my interest in plants. I've become increasingly interested in landscapes. Fynbos is endangered, and I'd love to be here flying the flag for Fynbos. I'm from an artistic family. We've always had a passion for being, you know, being creative.
When I noted it earlier on to you about you not entirely following the rules and how I appreciated that, or how I guess as a viewer I have benefited from that, do you think now that it's done, do you think you, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to you, but do you think you could have made life easier on yourself? In hindsight, is always wonderful, isn't it?
For the garden?
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. I mean... It has been a challenge because you know, this has been the most challenging project I've ever done, but I just believed in it. I did an awful lot of research. This is, you know, as I think I said before, it's 2.5 years in the planning. So I've been out several times back to South Africa. I've spent time walking in the hills with botanists. He's taught me everything he knows. I've researched the architecture endlessly. I've drawn it up and drawn it up. You know, I made life hard for myself, but you know, it sounds a bit like a sort of bit of a cliche, but this is Chelsea. It has to be the best.
Let me change that slightly. If I look at the amount of plants that you have, and as we discussed earlier on, there's the incorrect and then there's the more correct, shall I call it that. There are those that are, as they should be, perfectly in flower. It's the amount of finishings that you have between the plastered finish, the timber, the straw roof that you have.
Yeah.
The windows fitted, the fact that the windows are blacked out from the inside going backwards, the wooden benches, the barrels, the amount of different things. If you had just done this as paving, water and planting, I would say he's a clever fella. And he's probably got a gold medal for it.
Well,
if you'll allow me differentiate between and explain it a little bit better, does that make sense with you?
What you mean, the level of detail I've gone into?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do like detail. I like to obsess about the detail. Everything was researched. You know, we give an example. These vine eyes on the columns. They arrived quite shiny. We put them in buckets of salt and vinegar to rust them. Mm-hmm. They weren't too rusty. So I then sat on the bench. While everyone else was getting on with more technical stuff, slightly rubbing off the rust so that it had a sort of slightly aged feel to it. I must have had about 15 samples of terracotta tiles. These ones are actually concrete, believe it or not, and they're the best replicas of reclaimed terracotta tiles I could find. The renderers who came along, they did a sample of render. It's every little detail has been thought of.
Let's stick with the tiles just for a second, because I know from talking to Katrin of CED Stone, I'm going to mention their name a bit in the Chelsea interviews, yeah, as a by the way for you listening at home. You mentioned 15 different types. Mm-hmm. The last time I heard 15 different anything was one of my sisters, and I've got four of them, picking out a pair of shoes for a wedding, and she wasn't even getting married, as a by the way. Did you have an element in you where you know with your eyes closed what you want it to be,
yes,
but you haven't seen it just yet? And a bit like the gnarly tree, they turn around and go, well, we have that one down the back, but we've done. And you're like, oh my God, that's the woman of my dreams in stone format.
Yeah,
is that the level that we're... Explain to me just on the stone bit if you can.
Well, I knew exactly what I wanted, but you know, we have a limited budget, believe it or not, it was a big budget, and I knew that I wanted it to be as authentic as possible, and I must have rung up, you know, a dozen suppliers, and I got, you know, 15, 16 samples. None of them were right, and then Mark Stewart Landscapes said, well, I've got a guy around the road who does replica Victorian tiles. They're in concrete. Maybe give them a try. And I knew straight away, as soon as I saw it, that's the one. And that's, I knew that would work. Sometimes, you know, you get materials. It's a bit like, you know, when you cook something, you put all the ingredients together, you're not quite sure if it's going to turn out right. And that was the big fear. You know, sometimes you have all the right ideas, all the right ingredients, and you sit there and you taste it and you think, no, that's not quite right. Something's not quite right there. So that was a gamble. But, you know, I think so far it's paid off. You know, all the details I wanted have turned out the way I wanted them to be.
But even your pointing, even the pointing on your stone, even the slabs themselves, you've allowed for the chips and some of the ends to go missing, which makes it real. And if you'd have made that perfect, it wouldn't have been right, I gather, as per the brief. Is that fair?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, everything was supposed to be slightly aged and imperfect. I wasn't in charge of every single detail, you know. Great credit to Mark and his guys, because some of them they all kind of bought into the idea. So they did things that I hadn't even thought of. So the way the pointing was done, a bit rough, a bit hit and miss. It was just, you know, I sometimes didn't even have to look at it. I look at it and say, God, how have you managed that? I didn't even think about that. We've got vines. The vines and the wires on the vines, if you look closely, you can actually see last year's tendrils around the vines. That was Mark's idea. Well, maybe it may have been Rosanna's idea, actually. But it was just, you know, everybody bought into this. Everybody got the level of detail we needed to go to. And it was difficult to get that balance right, because, you know, some judges might look and say, well, that looks a bit old. That's not quite perfect. But, you know, everybody bought into the idea and got into the same level of obsession with detail as me.
That takes a lot. They talk about football teams and football managers, about how the team is down. If you listen to somebody like Arsene Wenger, as an Arsenal fan, as a by the way, yeah, I know if we all got our crosses to bear, but it talks heavily about the psychology and how when the Invincible thing happened, that he essentially let the team manage itself.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, it takes a lot to get 60 people, 60,
yeah, yeah,
into a group huddle and go, where are we going? And you're, okay, everybody, yeah. And they're, is he for real? Or it's the other, which is, we're on board with this.
Yeah,
this isn't right. We need to tell him.
That's been a challenge. And it's something I really enjoyed, actually. And I think probably have my time in the army to thank for that, because that taught me a lot about just managing teams and keeping spirits up. And so I've always believed that whether I'm at Chelsea or more frequently, whether I'm actually designing gardens and building them, if you have a happy team, you get a better result. So... I believe very, very strongly about, you know, making sure I knew everyone here. They were all, most of them were all new to me, and making sure that they understood what they were doing. I wanted them to buy into the project and believe in it, and running the team, and yet not standing over them saying, what are you doing now, having, you know, being able to sit back. So that's why I spent half a morning polishing vine eyes, because it was just a menial job, and I was just in the garden just gently watching over what was going on. Getting that balance right has been a challenge as well, because, you know, this is my baby. I've been working on it for so long, and it'd be very tempting to walk around trying to control everything. But being able to trust people and you know, hopefully make them feel part of the team was a difficult balance to get right.
There are rock stars who I would know personally off the record as friends, and they tell me when they've gone on tour and they come off tour, a tour that they've been building for a year and a half, yours is 2.5 years,
yeah,
they come off stage and they say they can't cope. because they're missing the buzz. Are you about to go through that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think my wife will miss the buzz. That's for sure. She's looking forward to having me back. I think there's talk of something called a Chelsea crash.
Yeah.
So I may find it quite hard to go back to work next week. But I've also got a lot of work stacked up. I have a lot to catch up on. The buzz, yeah, it's been an incredible buzz. Honestly, now I just want to enjoy it. I'm very tired after the 3-week build. And probably not as tired as half the guys who have done probably a lot more physical work than me. If it goes well, there's no greater place to be as a garden designer.
I've spoke to a couple of designers about not being there or being there for the takedown. I've never been there for the takedown of one of my own gardens. I felt like it was like watching myself on the big screen, breaking up with the woman of my dreams. I just couldn't do it. I had to walk away from it. How are you on that one?
I don't know. I think, I'm in it for everything. You know, people say, are you going to be here for the medals tomorrow? Yeah, I'll be here. You know, if it goes well, it doesn't go well, I'll be here. For the takedown...
Two and a half years.
Come on, yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's a lot of emotions actually about this. You know, even being here right now, and I've got a whole week to get through. Not get through, a whole week to enjoy. Let's say, and so I'll see how I feel on Saturday. I'll probably be here for the mad plant sell off, but I probably won't watch the bulldozers come in.
I don't think I could. I just don't understand how anybody can do it. I mean, I speak to him, just says, it's just, that's it. And I, yeah, come on, really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, surely you wrote love poems about her. But that's me in my head. But I look at this now and
maybe
I think...
you're more emotional than Mark.
Like I said, you're talking to a guy who used to grow plants under his bed, I used to bring him in my school bag so my mom wouldn't hit them with the vacuum cleaner. Yeah. But it's another day's work. What's the next stage for this? I don't mean next week when you go home and the dip kicks in or the buzz crash, whatever that might be. What's this time next year? Will you be back here again?
I'd love to come back. I mean, honestly, it's a little early to say. I would really like to do well here and be recognised for doing well. And I think
you've done extremely well.
If it goes well, then never say never. I mean, I hope my wife doesn't listen to this because she will kill me if I come back next year. But I would like to come back.
I want to ask you one final question, Jonathan. A lot of people have a bit of a I could never ask that girl to dance. Type thing, or I could never submit this direct to Chelsea, that I have to follow that route.
Yeah,
I have to go up through the way, I have to go that trodden path, the one that you didn't follow. Would you be inclined to suggest to those listening to this out there that have any form of notion, no, Pete, listen,
give it a try,
straight in, just go for the juggler,
give it a try. If honestly, I mean, I have a good idea, really, really believe in it, be passionate about it, get the sponsor. That's the hardest thing. That's the really, really the hardest thing to do. And just be passionate about it and just believe in the design. Really, really believe in what you're doing. And of course, it is definitely my biggest achievement to get here in the way that I have. I'm really proud of what we've managed to achieve. But yes, if you've got an idea and you believe in it, if the RHS like it and you can get a sponsor, you'll get a spot, and as a designer, you can be a first-time designer, but you've got to have a good team behind you. And that's, if I had new contractors and I had new nurseries, then I probably wouldn't have got here. So they encourage new designers, absolutely. Just make sure you've got a good team behind you, because they want to make sure that you can pull it off as well.
Jonathan Snow, congratulations and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
So hey, it's Peter, and thanks for listening to the episode with Jonathan Snow. It really is very much appreciated. What you may not be aware of, and why this is coming in at the tail end of the podcast, is that C.D. Stone, who rang me essentially and said, Howard, Catherine and Giles, look, we're big fans of the show. Not Justin Bieber big fans, just, we like the cut of your jib, to quote my mum. But they wanted to make it possible for me to get there, or make life easier for me to get to Chelsea in order to be able to record some stuff that you get to listen to. And they didn't put me in the baseball cap and the bumper sticker and the umbrella and the golf cart. They just said, look, go do your thing. We don't want a jingle. We don't want anything. Just go do it. And we're happy enough with that. So if you get a minute and you liked it, give them a high five and tell them I sent you. XO. Take care. Bye. And thanks.